Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Excuse me, Veronica.
Yes, what is it, Brick?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Excuse me?
The party, the pants with the pants. Party with pants.
Hello and welcome to the Pants Party. I am Harrison Starr, aka Boiler Hawk, hosting this week's episode. Joining me are Ben Ross and Max Brecky. Ben, how are you doing?
Just like my athlete's foot, we are back, Harrison. Happy to be on the podcast airwaves with you two. I am feeling just fine.
Fantastic. And Max, what's popping with you?
I'm alive.
Yeah? Any good Grand Rapids, Minnesota beers for you to share with us today?
No. Never go to Grand Rapids, Minnesota. That's my take on Grand Rapids,
As a Minnesotan, when you said you were in Grand Rapids, I just assumed Michigan.
Yeah, no, I told my fiance, I told her that I was like, I'm about to tell these people I'm driving back from Grand Rapids right now. And she's like, I mean, that's not that far of a drive. And I was like, they'll think it's Michigan.
Yeah, I totally thought it was Michigan. But
sure
I was
enough.
not feeling a podcast yesterday. It was a rough weekend. Ben, how about you? You have any good Chicago beers or anything else?
I actually I had a very low-key weekend myself because literally all of my friends, I'd like to remind you all, I'm 28, and all of my friends got four-day passes to Lollapalooza. Full of high schoolers.
They're not 28.
No, they are.
That's
so they're losers.
Yeah.
So I was all alone all weekend. So I went and I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood alone on Friday night. Absolutely adored it. We could talk about that if we want, but I think it was it's probably my third favorite Quentin Tarantino movie. And
what's the first though? That's all I care about.
Jackie Brown is my favorite.
That's a good one.
Inglourious Basterds is two. The two flip-flop for me. The movie-going experience, though, I haven't been in, like, a crowded theater full of just, you know, it's mostly fans. It's just a really fun movie-going experience. I'd see it again in a heartbeat. There's a theater right by me that has it in film, actually, in 70mm, so I can be all snobby and go and see a film for the film. I don't know if I'm going to do that, though. And Saturday, I played a little bit of golf, and that's about it. Kept it pretty dry. I think I only had four or five beers all weekend.
Ah, okay. Well, I did see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was weird because it was really pretty long, but it also somehow didn't feel long, even
the
though
length
it felt
didn't
like
bug
it
me
kind
at
of
all.
Moved slow.
Not once. I was not bugged by the length.
Like, it was kind of wild to me, because, like, normally when movies move that slow, it feels like they're taking forever, but somehow I made it without having to go to the bathroom, went right before it started, and then I was clean until the end.
And what'd you
Anyways,
think?
Anyways, I enjoyed it. Like, I mean, for me, it was... I mean, there are problems with Quentin Tarantino, but... but, like, overall, there's no doubt that, to me, Brad Pitt was just... awesome.
Stunning.
I almost wonder if that's probably the best supporting actor right there. Like, that would be
probably, I mean, yeah, certainly. And I mean DiCaprio was incredible too. Everybody.
What was your favorite scene, I guess?
My favorite scene probably was, I mean, it's got to be either Brad Pitt on the roof, and then the flashback that he has on the roof. Anything, is it any of the scenes with Pacino, where He was excellent.
Yeah. I actually think I saw this one on The Ringer. I think my favorite might have been the one where he was calling for the line DiCaprio was. I just thought that was such an interesting peel behind movie making in a way. I guess TV making, but still. Anyways, it is...
Oh, I was going to just throw out my two cents here. Sorry, I haven't seen it yet, and I've heard that it's somewhat problematic from what I hear, but I know the guy who plays Jackie Chan in that movie.
Bruce Lee,
that's what I meant to say. My bad. That's racist to me. I'm very sorry. That's problematic in itself, but I do know that guy.
That scene was probably one of my favorite. That's part of the flashback scene on the roof. That was one of my favorite scenes. How do you know so-and-so?
He's in my fraternity.
He was an Iowa grad?
No, he's a Minnesota grad.
Oh.
Shout out the Alpha Beta chapter.
I'm going to look this guy up right now.
But yeah, that's my two cents. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll see it eventually.
Dude, I don't understand. Are we going to turn this into a Quentin Tarantino podcast? I don't understand where the people who say it's problematic are really coming from.
I just heard that people thought that it was a very poor interpretation of Bruce Lee.
Well, I mean,
that's where I was coming from with that. I just heard people thought it was very, very in poor taste, and I don't know.
Probably, but that was such a small part of the movie that thought never even crossed my mind.
And part of it is just there's a misogyny that is tagged along with him.
You're right.
I don't think it necessarily pertains to Margot Robbie, but the way that Brad Pitt's marriage is kind of portrayed, it's that was kind of an issue for me, but overall, a very enjoyable movie. Would recommend going, especially if you like Quentin Tarantino, in which case, you probably have already gone to see it. Then see it again, like Ben will probably do in 70mm.
Looking up this Mike Mo, your fraternity brother fellow Max, yeah? He's got some bona fides on the film.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I just saw little clips of it in commercials and whatever, but
he is a fifth degree black belt in American Taekwondo.
I did know this.
Yeah, makes sense.
Anyway.
Alright.
Back to Iowa.
Yeah, back to Iowa. So we're gonna go ahead and get this thing started with the Iowa talk, opening up one of my seltzers.
Are these one of the seltzers that you tried this past weekend?
Tried, yes. Reviewed, no. So a little teaser for the Instagram for Mighty Swell. Pretty tasty one. This one's watermelon mint, and a little overt on the mint, but I enjoy it.
I see you have not put up this weekend's reviews on your channel yet.
Oh, as the shared ones? No, I need to go back and do that. I thought about it while I was at work today. I'm like, I could probably spend my time a little better. You know, actually.
What else would you do at work?
Trying to build my brand.
No, that is work.
It's not what I get paid more money to do, though.
You just put it under professional development when you're clocking in. When you're doing your timesheets.
Fair enough. But Iowa football's fall camp in a hard turn just started this week. We're starting to see some pictures come out. You can read into those as much as you'd like. Is Oliver Martin going against the ones as a part of the ones? Who knows? But what we are going to talk about to start is who are our favorite guys not on the fall two deeps. So I think that these are guys that might be able to make a little run this fall. What we think that they might be, whether it's this year or next, or in the case of some, it has to be this year, at least my guy. Max, I know you said you had someone. Who's your pick of the year?
So my pick, not on the depth charts currently. Oh, never mind. I just found him. He's on there. That's stupid.
Oh, you jerk. You were playing that the whole time.
No, I wasn't actually. I didn't realize that DJ Johnson was located under outside linebacker.
That'll do it, Max.
Yeah.
What'd you think he was going to be?
I thought he was going to be located underneath at least, like, cornerback or safety, because that's, you know, what he plays. But he's the outside linebacker slash
Cash.
Nickel.
He's going to be the cash guy, right?
Will.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
All right, so he's actually... He is, in fact, a starter.
We can talk about him for a second, though, because he's up, like... He's up, like, 10 pounds, which to me was almost, like, a prerequisite for me to really fall in love with him, because Amani Hooker was just jacked. And that's something that when we saw DJ Johnson, I think he was at either 175 or 170 this past spring. It's like, oh, is he going to be able to make the tackles that he needs to? So seeing him at 183 is, it's a good sign.
Yeah. That's my bad. I still go with him. DJ Johnson. He's my person that's not on the Jeff chart that I'm going with.
DJ was a 4-star, yes?
Yes. Well, borderline.
I
think that when he signed, he became a 3-star, you know, as they do.
He's one of the, so we got him, it was him, Dallas Kratith, and then who was the third fringe 4-star corner defensive back we got in the same class, Harrison? Do you remember?
Was that Brents?
Brents.
It would have been Brents.
It was Brents. And so really, I guess Brents has been where we've been hearing about him, but DJ's really the only guy of all of them who's been hyped.
Yeah.
Kratith has been.
Brents played a lot last year.
Yeah. Kratith has just been nowhere. He's a ghost.
I'm almost afraid about Kratith now that we mention him, because he's someone that was a complete surprise.
He was a consensus 4-star, actually, though, was he not?
It was between him and, or between Iowa and LSU, from my understanding. So, like, to get him really felt like a coup, and it's funny to see Kayvon Merriweather be the number one free safety.
No, you know what I think is actually really interesting? I mean, yeah, there's Kayvon Merriweather who's the starting free safety right now, but Devonta Young is the backup strong safety.
Is he? He was started as a receiver.
He was a wide
receiver, right?
Yeah.
He actually caught a ball, I think, either last year or 2 years ago. At Iowa, you see it the other way around. You normally don't see offensive players go to defense, right?
I mean, unless their quarterback's going to linebacker.
Oop. Or tight ends. Oh, a derby pull.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He would have made a great tight end at Iowa. That's a lost moment.
Probably would have, but anyway, yeah. I'm actually going to go Michael Dalton Sleet. Very excited to see what he can do this year.
Damn. Good answer.
Oh, he was on my list.
Because he is not.
Was he yours, Harrison?
I have 3 written down, so.
Oh, my God. Fucking teacher's pet.
Well, I knew this was going to happen. It's a punter. It's Iowa. It's Kirk Ferentz. Of course it's going to be him.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway. I should have pulled up his statistics.
That's great. Sleep Dalton. No, the craziest thing I didn't know about him was for 3 games he punted. I can't remember if he's a left-footed or a right-footed punter, but he punted with his non-dominant foot because of like an ankle sprain or something. He still averaged like 51 yards in those 3 games, which Iowa hasn't touched in the past 2 years. It'd come anywhere close.
I think that he averaged 40-ish last year, which, I mean, Iowa still didn't average
I think he averaged 43.4 in total,
My buddy he worked at ASU for a couple of years while Dalton Sleep was there, and he said that he wasn't very impressed, but, I mean, it can't be hard to beat out what we have.
Yeah. Maybe this is Dalton. Across the line.
No, it's not.
But I feel like Iowa fans with Kirk Ferentz, they're like addicted to punting. And now that there's a guy that we think can be a really good punter, because like if you think about it, he was at
I don't think anybody thinks he's gonna be really good.
But he was at 44 yards a punt last year. Colton Rastetter was at 38, but like you look at his last 6 games, and it was like 37, 35, 34, 38, 35, 34. I mean, you're talking about another first down that the opponent has to get.
That's the biggest thing to me, is just, yeah, making the opponent stay in the field for another series is a huge deal.
So, I am very excited for him, even though it was Max's guy. How about you, Ben? Who's your guy on the two deeps you're looking for?
Not on the two deeps.
Not on the two deeps, you're right.
That I'm looking most forward to is Oliver Martin. I think there's a snowball's chance in hell he's able to play this year. I'd give it less than 5% chance that he's eligible. But you still got to talk about him, and you never did you specify for this year? Did you say in general? Because in general, it's got to be Oliver Martin. For a non-cheating answer, I'd probably have to choose, I don't know, I was going to say John Wagoner, but he's on the two deeps. So I really don't know after that.
I think you're right about Oliver Martin actually being the guy, because
I mean, he's got to be, yeah.
But I also, the longer this drags on, the more and more optimistic that I get.
Yeah, I guess, but who the fuck knows if they've even looked at his file yet? Like, that the NCAA is so ass backwards that, I mean, it's got to be an open and shut case. So the fact that we haven't heard anything about it yet means they haven't even entertained it yet. Is one of you outside?
What?
Matt has a bunch of drag racers.
There's a lot of motorcycles that drive down my street for some reason, and they're always very loud.
Do you live near Grumpy's?
No, I live near Fair State.
Ah.
So I mean, two busy streets.
Yeah.
I do think it's really interesting though for who are we talking about?
Martin.
Yeah, Oliver Martin. That's his name. I mean, he kind of does have to come in and be the guy, though, because you look at that depth chart, and, I mean, there's three wide receivers on it for the first time in a little bit, but two juniors and then three redshirt freshmen. Like, it's green behind Smith Marset.
Yeah,
or at least that's the impression that they're giving. It's, you know, it's not looking like there's any experience there behind those two guys, and Smith Marset gets, I mean, I love him. He gets put in doghouse a lot, but it'll be interesting to kind of see how that goes.
That's a good point. Chad Lysakow, to his credit, he mentioned about the pictures earlier today that Smith Marset looked bigger, and I didn't necessarily see it, but he is up to 183, so maybe he's playing a little less Fortnite on his phone.
What was he last year? Do you know, by any chance?
He was like 175. Like, both he... Well, and the thing about Marcet is that he's 6'1", so, like, being 175 pounds and 6'1", like, you look at Tracy, 5'11", 200, I mean, that kid is stacked.
Yeah.
So, Smith Marcet, he's rail thin, he's the type of guy who probably would have ended up being a true senior, just because he's so electric in the return game that he would have found his way onto the field no matter what, but he just has that small frame, and like, he was a sprinter, so that probably plays into it back in high school, but we shall see.
Harrison, you said he got three whole guys that qualify, so let's hear them, and let's pick them apart one by one.
So the punter, Michael Sleep Dalton,
yeah, we already talked about him,
that I had, and then I think this is just an emotional, like, I'm just like, I just want this to work so
much. Hold
on,
let me try and guess.
Yeah, do it.
Emotional.
It's going to be that one guy that, I don't know. Nixon's on the depth chart.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, I said Davion, that would have been incorrect. Drew Cook.
Yeah, it's 100% Drew Cook. Like, I want nothing more than for him to just turn in, I don't even know what it would need to be. Like, even if it was 25 receptions, what would that be, 15 yards? Let's call it 400 yards. And
that's optimistic.
Five touchdowns?
Yeah, five,
that's
six
so,
touchdowns.
That's so optimistic.
But I just,
but they're all game winners.
So badly, I want it so badly for it to click with Joo Cook.
Yeah,
like I just, I mean to, but he would have to come from behind. From, I mean, you called me a teacher's pet earlier, almost. Like the more I think about last year, the more I think that Fant off the field was more about actually having Weeding on the field. So he's gonna have to show what he has in the receiving game. And
I don't think that's how Kirk Ferentz operates.
You don't think?
No, I think that's how Kirk Ferentz operates.
You don't think Kirk Ferentz had a soft spot for a former walk-on who did everything "quote unquote" right, who was a very good blocker and never asked for the ball?
No, I thought you meant in the sense get Weeding on the field to get him just playing time to be ready for looking down the road to this year.
Oh, no, not about that.
That's what I thought. No, yes.
I thought he was like the quote-unquote union card.
No, yeah, in your description, yes. In my, yes, yeah. We're both wrong and right. I'm wrong.
Because, like, I mean, the more I think about it, like, there's been some quotes with Kirk Ferentz. Like, he even talked about the Denver Broncos interviewed him. And he said that Noah Fant was a good teammate and a good blocker. It's like... Anyways, we don't need to rehash 2017.
So who's the third?
And then the third was Van Valkenburg, the defensive tackle.
Okay. Shit, the junior college guy.
Yep, and I think he'll be the type of guy. He's got 2 years, so maybe he doesn't break through this year, but with Brady Reif and Lattimore both being seniors, I think he's going to be the type of guy who you look down the road, Lattimore's gone, Reif's gone, Epinesa's gone, Jones is gone, Golston probably still around, but there's probably an off chance that he has a really good season and he's gone too. He's a redshirt junior, so.
Is he a tackle or an end?
He seemed
pretty skinny as a tackle.
Yeah, I think he'll see the field at least a little bit this season. I mean,
no, I think he will play a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he'll probably end up being just a nice depth piece, even if it's just like 5 snaps a game.
But I might be missing someone. I know I had like another guy or two, but that was kind of my group of three for non-too deep guys. So as we move in to our next topic, we're going to talk about how would we build a coaching staff with the Big Ten right after this break.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Does your cat make too much noise?
Is that a problem that people have with cats?
Then try kitten mittens.
Okay. And we're back.
Unfortunately enough for you.
Sorry. So,
before we went in, this is a topic I posed because everyone's all about these... Who are the best coaches in the country at this time of year? And I think it is a fair discussion. But the way I wanted to frame it, and this isn't a draft or anything, but the way I thought about it is, like, among Big Ten coaches and coordinators, you can pick whoever you want for whatever position. But how would you build your staff? And the way I framed it was head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and then a wild card for anything else. So... started with Max with the two deeps. Ben, do we want to snake this guy or do we just want to rattle off?
Yeah, I have the correct and only acceptable answers, and I think, like, objectively these are right. And
okay.
Defensive coordinator, you're giving me Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the Braun brothers.
Oh.
The what?
Give me the Braun brothers. And then wild card. I hate to say it, but I think I want Patty Fitz.
Mm. So how do you have the Brom brothers?
Head coach and offensive coordinator.
Ah, then where does that put Patty Fitz?
Fuck, wild card, bitches.
Got me there. I mean, I have three of the four you mentioned, but...
Yeah.
In a different configuration. I actually have... I know, we lost Ben. I think he tried to mute himself. But
he'll figure it out, maybe.
So, let me just jot this down. Anyways, so I have Pat Fitzgerald as the head coach.
Okay.
I think that is unassailable. And then to Ben's point, I have Brom and Parker as the coordinators. And my wild card is Jim Harbaugh as QB coach.
Mm.
Now, my logic here, yeah. Max...
He's the QB whisperer.
I just want to see Brom and Harbaugh just, like, go at it. Like, I feel like these are four intense personalities. I probably should have gone with, like, a more of a mediator as that fourth guy, but I just had to do it. I just think Harbaugh, to your point, is a QB whisperer, so that's why I have him.
That's fair. I did not put any thought into this, so while you guys were talking, I started to put together my imaginary staff. We'll start here. Offensive coordinator, we're going to have Jeff Brom. You guys both picked the Brom man. Definitely going to go with him as the offensive coordinator. Defensive coordinator, I'm going to go with Don Brown. Don Brown, Michigan. Defensive coordinator, I think that's a pretty solid pick. I just wanted to be different than you guys. I didn't want to make everything the entire same. But I also think that he's probably... I think it's hard to say that he's not one of the best defensive coaches in the conference, probably. I mean, you could put him up there right with Parker, I think.
Well, and I think actually his credentials extend further than Parker's as a defensive coordinator exclusively.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that statement. I mean, he's just done it for longer. Right? I mean, he's been... I might be wrong.
I feel like he's been a defensive coordinator for longer. So
defensive coordinator? Oh, well, not at Michigan, only since 2016.
Yeah.
But he's been a defensive coordinator for years and years and years. Wild card is he just wins close games. Pat Fitzgerald. Oh, hello, welcome back.
Am I back?
Yeah, seems like it.
Wait, it wasn't interrupted?
I mean, we've been talking this whole time.
What was the last thing you heard me say?
Who knows?
You just said, he's a wild card, bitches, and then dropped.
Ah, yes,
so
perfect.
So it was tremendous.
Off into the void forever.
So,
God.
Since this is great live podcasting, I had Fitzgerald as the head coach, Brom and Parker as the coordinators, and then Jim Harbaugh as a QB coordinator. Or the QB coach.
Oh, I see what you... Okay.
And then Max...
I had Brom as the OC. DC is Don Brown. The close games winning specialist is Pat Fitzgerald. That's the wild card. And then I never picked the head coach. Let's just take Ferentz. I don't give a shit.
Ah, okay.
He's a good man. I mean, that's why I picked Don Brown instead of...
Don Brown is the only person I thought twice.
Yeah, that's, okay. Yeah, instead of Parker, I went with Don Brown just to be different. But then I realized that two of my four were already the same as yours. What a terrible segment.
Yeah. I know. I thought, oh man, this is going to be good. We're going to have... Well, I have a couple other ideas, maybe just to bounce off.
Wait, Harrison, I'm sorry. What was your justification for Pat Fitzgerald again?
He wins close games.
He just wins close games.
So he was your head coach, and then offensive coordinator was Brom, defensive coordinator was Parker, and then QB coach was Harbaugh.
Yeah, so actually, I think...
Why? Wait a minute, why? We're glossing over this.
Why Harbaugh? Or why Fitzgerald?
Yeah, I mean, he's got the QB whisperer thing, but it's been a while.
No, it hasn't.
You know,
it's been
that's a
like
good point.
4 years, not even.
That's a good point. Maybe
that's a while.
Yeah, you're right. So I think one long-time listeners of the podcast will know that I
all
do
three
have
of them.
An affinity for Jim Harbaugh. I do. Like, I just... That's fair.
I probably would too if he's been good lately. I really liked him at Stanford, but he hasn't done anything at Michigan.
Yeah, so that's fair. I think if I were rethinking it, there are a couple different ways that I could reconstitute this. I actually like the idea of Don Brown as defensive coordinator and going with Phil Parker as the DB coach. That would be insane.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of us should have done that.
The other one that I was thinking is Scott Frost as offensive coordinator.
I did,
Ryan Day as offensive coordinator. Those are the other two that I was kind of thinking that it's like, oh,
no,
okay.
I don't think Ryan Day is going to have success at Ohio State, but that's just my opinion.
I have no idea.
I mean, he'll have some success because it's Ohio State and he doesn't really need to try to recruit. He's just going to have immense amounts of talent, but like, they did not... I don't like the way they ran their offense the past couple of years.
So you'd rather have Scott Frost as the offensive coordinator than Ryan Day?
Yes. No doubt, and that's mainly because Scott Frost went to school at the Chip Kelly School of Offense.
Yeah, but that's kind
of
been dead for a little bit, though.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, now it is.
You might want to take that off the resume.
But when it was a big deal, he did, so...
Please don't ask for my transcripts. You don't need... Why do
you
need
them?
You
don't need my transcripts?
I'm 35. Please.
And then,
my son.
Let me think. One other guy I did think about was Jim Leonard. I don't know where I'd put him.
Defensive coordinator at Wisconsin.
Or defensive back. And then also, because my... I'm just riffing here. The other one I thought about was...
You didn't think about this at all. You're just throwing stuff out there now.
He's just naming
now
coaches.
The two that I've popped in my mind are Paul Christ, because he would even the hell out of my staff. Like, that is a lot of melatonin going into that coaching room now. And then the other one was
James
Brian Ferentz as offensive
line coach. Fuck you.
As offensive line
coach.
I'm not going to... put him in charge of my freaking offense.
I'd take Kirk Ferentz as offensive line coach before Brian Ferentz as offensive line coach.
Okay.
Can't argue that one.
Okay. You got me there.
Brian Ferentz for tight ends coach, though.
Yeah.
That would be so dumb.
Or run game coordinator.
Oh, you're right. That would be the better spot.
Yeah.
So that stupid segment is a little bit of a bug.
There's 11 minutes you're not getting back.
You got
11 minutes where we literally agreed with each other for 11 minutes. What terrible content.
But there was...
Try and be more diverse.
That's why I was coming up with random answers. Anyways, the other... And now this is a good transition. And a transition's never good when you mention it. But the other wild card I thought about was Chris Doyle as strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah, I thought about it too.
Oh, yes.
Was recently made the most... highly paid strength and conditioning coach in all of college football, and our good friend Justin Wolfers had this to say: that's an awful lot for the football equivalent of a TA.
That's kind of funny, though.
They already have football equivalents for TAs, and they're called GAs. So, joke's on you.
I know. Anyways, he's getting roasted in his mentions. The reason I bring him
Iowa
up is...
Iowa fans will do that.
There was a renewed discussion on the sleeping aspect of this. And I know Ben has some details about it, because the way they framed it was, oh, this is kind of something new that they're doing. But, Ben?
It's not.
Oh. All I know is that just Iowa football, they monitor their players' sleep. They've been doing it for as long as I've since I was in school. So that was, I'm not going to tell you. So it's been over 10 years.
You already said you were 28, so you might as well just keep.
Oh, you're right. So when I was a reporter for the Daily Iowan is when they talked about it. But I don't, so I know they've been doing it at least since 2011. And they just monitor sleep. And I think...
I don't think it's to like to police the team or anything. I think Chris Doyle uses the data and uses it in it when he develops a strength program and schedule for the athletes. I think he tracks and makes assessments on progress and everything. And yeah, sleep, I think anybody would, anybody in that field would say sleep is the biggest deal for muscle
sleep
growth.
Sleep is for the weak. Your
muscles grow the most while you're asleep. And they need to make sure that, you know, their players are getting the most out of their workouts. And I'm not certain how they monitor sleep, and I don't think they do it for every single player on the team. I think they actually might do it randomly, Harrison. I don't know if that's something you came across, because I didn't read the recent article. But I thought actually maybe when I thought they did it at random for players whose sleep they monitor.
The way it was framed was in a way that made me think that they're doing it for every guy almost as much as possible. Because Rushmore, quote unquote, of sleep that was Nate Stanley, Anthony Nelson, T.J. Hockenson, the Paulson brothers, and Sean Beyer.
Okay.
So the number one and number three tight end, number one and number four tight end on that list from last year, but
yeah.
I don't know. To me, I think it, to your point, it's an analytic. When you're a student athlete, you kind of give away your life. You know what this is, but to me, it takes away almost the student from it. I don't know. That's part of what I think.
I don't know. I think.
Well, I mean, there are real reasons he's doing it, to your point. Like, the math shows that, like you said, muscle growth develops while you're asleep. But I'm curious, because he mentioned the word specifically, intervention, and that was kind of the red flag to me.
I guess it probably is another part of the Ferentz trying to lock down the football room by, you know, banning the players from being on social media. But at the same time, I think maybe a lot of players probably embrace this data, and they probably, if they're really, you know, buying into the program, like, I'm sure other reprimands, if you're not getting enough sleep, I'm sure there's punishment involved, but
maybe not.
And I mean, college athletes or college students are not really known for having healthy sleep patterns.
I'm just curious, but like, what do you think a reprimand for not getting enough sleep would look like? Just sounds so funny to me.
Like an extra lap. Like, I think it wouldn't be, I don't know, a scolding. I'm just saying, it's maybe another thing that would make players worried. I've got no problem with it, and I don't know enough about it really to continue assessing it.
Okay, that's fair, because I mean, the way it was framed was, to Max's point, like, these guys know if they've not slept well the night before, then it'll be more like a stern talking to. And I guess ultimately, even with the way Doyle framed it,
it's probably a part of the meal plan they have him on. I mean. Yeah, they don't get punished for, like, not really following their meal plan, I guess, you're right. They just, like you say, get a stern talking to, and maybe, you know, you get in Kirk's doghouse, maybe. But
they get forced to take melatonin.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's kind of my thing, is, like, when they find people who are having trouble sleeping, I was talking with friend of the pants, Stoops My Ass, and kind of the thing that I brought up is, like, it makes sense for all these good sleepers to be white.
What?
But my intuit was, I almost wonder if it's a cultural thing. Sleeping, and the way he framed it is that it's a learned behavior, and with his background, he's gotten to know a bunch of different families, and when parents are working two different jobs, home life extends later into the evening, so they don't develop those sleep habits in line with the normal school system. You're not necessarily always eating dinner at 6 o'clock and then going to sleep at 10. Maybe you're not going to bed until 12 or 1. So I just thought it was interesting, because the flip side of that is, does this put kids in the doghouse because they're not sleeping? I just think it's really interesting, because ultimately this Iowa way, it's just very interesting to me, because it keeps the floor of Iowa football very high so far. And is it done at the to take away from what who could be included in the Iowa way, more or less? I don't know. And maybe this is a discussion not to
I think
have.
We've gotten really galaxy brain here.
Okay, all right. And if I have, then yeah, call me on it.
No, I get
it. No, I understand, but at the same time, it just feels like such a weird extreme. Like, it's just, like, the, like, end of the spectrum, that, like, the complete opposite end of, you know, it's just like, oh, we're talking about sleep, and then it's like, I don't know, just felt very galaxy brain. But, like, I get it, but it also...
Well, and I don't think he's doing any of this with intent.
No.
Like, I just think that the analytics say sleep helps. So I guess ultimately are they trying to help them sleep during normal hours? Or are they finding ways for everyone to, hey, if you need to nap an hour during the day, here's a good time to do it? And it is a discussion, because if you're struggling with school, you might be staying up later to complete homework and you're not able to sleep as much as you are in the middle of the night. Does it open up those avenues for discussion? I hope it's used more for discussion than reprimanding anyone, because I don't think that sleep needs to be something that is a negative, or a lack of sleep is a negative, unless it's to the far extreme. I don't know.
I think it's a good point. Like, yeah, if they're using it as a tool to help people get the sleep they need and figure out ways, if their people are having sleeping, figure out ways to get them help with sleep. Yeah, it's really important. You know, you can link it. It's akin to, you know, finding mental health help in that area. I think I don't think that's too far of a stretch to make. So I think this is a pro sleep podcast.
I disagree. I hate sleeping. Unless it's the morning and I have to get up for work, and then in that case, you could not peel me out of bed to save my life.
I'm assuming these are, you know, we have to trust that these powers are being used for good. You know, it's tougher to say that nowadays, but I gotta break the rock and trust the process here, Harry.
No, you're right. I don't know. I thought it was all interesting, because just the way it was framed as a learned behavior, to me, was like, oh, okay. So I just kind of peel away at that. I don't think, like I said, I don't think it's malicious. I hope it's used for discussions, used to benefit the players and the program. But it's just very interesting to me. So I don't know. Moving on, I guess. One last thing we wanted to talk about was Xavier Foster, who reduced his list to 5 teams: Baylor, Iowa State, Iowa, Providence, and Virginia Tech.
What a weird list.
It really is, Max.
This is the first time I've heard the full list, right? Honestly, and what a weird list.
I thought it was just Iowa State, and Baylor.
That's the way it felt, and then it's like, ah, who are the two teams past the three that are most likely? So does this mean he's going to have another round of reducing it to three and then pick?
No, he's got to know, and he's going to Iowa State.
I think he's going to go to Lithuania.
If he's smart, he would.
Join Aaron White. No, I have this horrible feeling that he's going to end up going to Iowa State.
He's definitely going to State, without question. He's going to goddamn Providence. You been there in November? Ugh.
Was this like you heard that he was an Iowa fan growing up, and his family's an Iowa fan, but it's like you see these pro-Iowa kids, especially from Iowa, they just normally they choose Iowa right away. So the longer it drags on, kind of the flip side of the Oliver Martin situation, the longer I...
Oh, I thought you meant, like, players who have actually a potential to go pro from Iowa choose not Iowa immediately.
Oh, I mean, that's another good point. Like, I think that it took him so long because he was holding out for a blue blood in a way. And that still might come.
It's true. It's true.
Because, yeah, I thought... Because, like, you look at the Wieskamps, you look at, like, Matt Gaetans, I mean, the McCaffreys are...
A special
case. They don't count, right?
The exception. I mean,
they're special exceptions, right? But you look at the Iowa kids, and it's normally once they're offered is when they accept from Iowa. So, I don't know. The longer it goes on, the more horrified I am that he chooses Iowa State. Especially because Iowa doesn't get into these recruiting battles that often with Iowa State basketball-wise.
Yeah, it really doesn't happen. Like, in any sport. And, I mean, I guess probably more so in football just because there's so many players. But, like, even then, it doesn't really feel like it's, you know, always that contentious. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know anything.
What was the most notable Iowa State recruiting battle?
In basketball or football?
I'm thinking football. I'm thinking of Lazard, right?
I don't know. Iowa flipped a couple players. I mean, in recent memory.
But nobody like Lazard was pretty big.
Yeah, very large fellow.
He would have made a great tight end at Iowa. No, the Lazard one's good, but I also think there was a lot of stuff going on with Jairo Brock. And
I mean that's probably it.
That's probably one, but basketball-wise, it's without a doubt.
Wasn't he?
Oh, maybe. But Adam Hawaska is the basketball player who went to Iowa State and then transferred to Iowa. Like, I mean, to me, that's the gold standard of Iowa-Iowa State, quote-unquote, recruiting battles.
But nobody, like, recent.
No, they completely stay out of each other's ways for basketball. I remember, I forget even what game I was watching that the announcers kind of mentioned that. I think it was, like, the tournament in New York City this past year.
Which one?
The tournament that Iowa played in New York.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, the one with Oregon and UConn.
Yeah, I think that's when it got brought up. I think it was...
Fran mentioned it. Fran Fischella.
That they don't really butt heads in recruiting for basketball. And, I mean, it makes sense. They probably were trying to both get, like, Marcus Paige and whatever, but obviously it didn't become that contentious once they both lost out.
The sliding door Iowa basketball recruiting-wise versus Iowa State is probably George Niang. Because I think he was down to Iowa State and then another school.
I don't know. Iowa was even interested in him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember
I'm not
that.
A big basketball recruiting guy, generally. Not a big recruiting guy.
Well, then.
I know it exists.
Now that we've neared the end of the podcast, do we want to talk about Euphoria, Ben?
Yeah, let's talk about it. The finale, are we going to be spoiling it for people?
Probably. Yeah. I haven't watched it.
Do you want to watch
special
it
special I've seen on TV. In 2019, I think.
What did you say?
I think it's the best show I've seen this year.
No, I would disagree with that.
Was Better Call Saul this year? I really enjoyed that.
The one I would...
I like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I like Fleabag, too. Okay, yeah, I already talked myself out of it.
Well, the two I would mention are probably Chernobyl and then...
Chernobyl is so good.
Chernobyl, too.
And
yeah,
then
Chernobyl,
years
yes.
and years. This is like...
People... I know you said that on Twitter. People have been raving about that.
It is... I mean, it's wild. I really enjoyed it. enjoy is probably the wrong word. I thought it was just awesome. So what to me, this? That was kind of the gold standard from this year.
What do you watch it on? It's on HBO.
Yeah, HBO Now.
Got what it. Are we referring to?
Years and years.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what that is.
I'm trying to think who, what else it would be. I mean, the only one that sticks out is Years and Years. But anyways, Euphoria, Ben. I know you had a take.
What were we? I know we talked about it before, but what was my take? It was how. I mean, it's terrifying. It's like if we were high school circa 2019. Like, fuck that. I'm glad I'm not married and gonna have kids soon.
Yeah, same.
Looking in your guys' directions.
I'm not married.
God. What was? Did I have a take, Harrison? I forgot it.
Well, I think I'll start with my take. It's like the first 3 to 4, maybe 5 episodes were just so good that, like, the last 3 or so felt just kind of fine. Which
I agree exactly.
And it just didn't meet the bar that it set. Which, I mean, you're a victim of your own success, right? But I think my frustration is doing what they did at the end is just like kind of a reset button in a way, and not like providing
the ending
any real
I was very unhappy with
character development.
But there was some good character development, I did say to myself watching the end. Do you think the way it's shot, like, it's so beautiful. I feel like it gives it a hall pass, and the music too is so good. The soundtrack, I listen to it every day now. It's awesome. Just the show is just so aesthetically, it pleases all the senses in a way a show hasn't, for me that I can recall.
Okay, I like that, because you're exactly right. Like, I mean, and it's so unique, and the way it's
so out there, yeah. And it's just so believable. I mean, 90% of it is, or like just the parts that happen isolated are very believable. It's just it makes me scared for. God, I'm glad I'm not going to high school during when these kids are, because fuck that.
Yeah, when or where?
Yeah, exactly.
I was a little mad that Fez didn't have, like, that intro storyline. That was the one thing I really wanted.
Fez is my favorite TV character. I think he's incredible. This is his first ever, like, TV or movie performance. He's a Scottish guy. His real name's Angus.
Oh, my God. I love that. That's amazing.
He reminds me of Mac Miller.
Yeah. That I mean,
big Mac Miller vibes.
It's like comparing... Yeah,
and
R.I.P.
The way the season ended with him, I am not happy with at all. I love the show. I love him. He's my favorite character on the show, and I don't think it's close.
I'd have to think about it. I can't remember his name. The sad boy, King Ethan. Is that his name?
I'm pretty bad at names. Sad Boy.
The Cat
King.
The Cat.
Yeah. He got his comeuppance.
Yep. Anyways, that was Euphoria Talk. Max, Michelle Branch?
The greatest pop artist of the 21st century.
Oh, boy.
Tell me that Everywhere is not a banger. You can't.
Is it actually a banger, though? Like, I mean,
is it. And is it actually, and does it actually pop?
Slap was the word that Max used.
Slap.
No, that was about Breeze.
Yeah.
Breathe.
Also slaps like no other. That's my take.
I don't think this is pop.
You don't think that Michelle Branch is a pop musician?
Yeah, but I don't know what I'd label her as, Lynn.
Like, it's not indie.
Pop has changed. It used to be what pop is.
Okay.
The Beatles are pop.
Oh, did you guys see Yesterday?
No. I heard it's not good.
I did
good.
Not. I saw Rocket Man. And it,
that doesn't surprise
I
me
I saw
at
Rocket
all.
Man. It was okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right, teen pop era. But that was in 2001.
Yeah. the 21st century, and nobody's come anywhere near it since.
I think Old Town Road, Max. Come on.
It's not Michelle Branch, bro.
If I closed out a list now, would it ruin the entire podcast?
Well, seeing as how you already did once.
Oh, you're right.
Alrighty. Well, we wanted to make it a short one. It was not.
Yeah, 53 minutes. That's long.
That's 6 minutes under.
Yeah, still under an hour. So, for Max, Ben, and myself, that's the Pants Party. Go Hawks.
Yep.
Fuck State.